sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me.
Welcome to the audio ministry of Salem Primitive Baptist Church, located in Graysville, Arkansas. I would like to thank you for listening in and hope you are blessed in the Word today. I would also like to invite you to come and worship with us in person. We have worship service every Sunday morning at 10:30 and Bible study every Wednesday night at 6:30. Please like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, and subscribe to us on YouTube for the most current updates. You can find links to these and more information about us on our website. It's www.salempbchurch.com. Thank you again, and may you be blessed in the knowledge of our God and Father. Book of Haggai, chapter 1, right between Zephaniah and Zechariah, the end of the Old Testament, is where I want to begin our thoughts this morning. As you know, we have been, since the first of the year, we have been trying to look at the book of Ezra and other places in Scripture and trying to look at a pattern to recovery. I have been very much enjoying the study. I'm thankful for the thoughts of it and the Lord making it more clear in my mind the need for these things. I pray that the Lord has been working with each one of you as we've been trying to go through these things so that you may see them in your life. I don't want to spend too much time on going back over the past few weeks, but I want to again encourage you to recognize the need for recovery in the Lord's church. A need for revival in the Lord's church. There is no doubt that 2020 was an odd year, a hard year, a year of lessons learned, whether we wanted to learn them or not. We were presented with them, and I pray that we learned from them. I was discussing with a gentleman that comes around to our shop once a week to visit with everybody. He's a fellow minister, not of our faith, but a fellow minister of God. He was visiting with me a little bit this last week of how he's seeing things be a little different this year and what I thought of last year. And all I could tell him was, I just hope that God's people were listening. I have no doubt that God had a lesson in last year. I'm not one that's going to tell you that God sent the problems of last year. I know that God allowed them. There's no doubt of that. Nothing happens in this life that God does not allow to happen. We see that in the life of Job. Satan could not touch him until God removed that hedge and allowed those things to come in. So I don't know if God caused the issues. I don't know if God sent the sickness. I do know God allowed it. And I do firmly believe that He was trying to teach us a lesson. And I pray that we were listening. And I want us to get the message. I want us to see the issues that are laid out before us. And I want us to see the need for recovery and to try to follow biblical pattern of how to do that. I'm so thankful that the Lord gives us His Word, and it truly is a thorough furnisher. The more we go through in this life, the more we see how well He has furnished us through His perfect Word how to overcome these things. But I start this morning in Haggai. In Haggai chapter 1, we find the charge that was given to Israel when they started in the book of Ezra. I want to start this morning with this charge, with this somewhat chastisement that came from God to the people of Israel as they came back into their land here, as a way of reminder to us as we are beginning anew, starting over, trying to overcome the things of the past and trying to start, as I trust most people are, we want to put 2020 behind us and start anew, do we not? Well, that's where Israel is at this point. They've come out of the Babylonian captivity. They've made their way back into Israel. And they want to start anew like that never happened. They want to start again to be the children of God, the family of God, and the nation of God. But the problem is, we're human. The problem is, we get in our own way sometimes. Can any of y'all relate to that? None of us could possibly relate to sometimes our own worst enemy is ourself. And the one thing that stands in the way of us serving God as much as we should is probably me. Can we relate to that? That's where we find ourselves here in Haggai. This is where it started, by the people of Israel wanting to build the church back, build the temple again. It says, in the second year of Darius, the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? As we came through 2020, oftentimes I heard it from many people, myself included, that we wanted to get back to normal, right? We want to get back to the way things were. But oftentimes when people would say that, what was in consideration when they said it? They want to be able to get back to their lives. They want to get back to being able to go out as they see fit, to go and gather with people and to celebrate things that they would like to celebrate. It's been a pain. How many of you want to get rid of the masks? I mean, I do. Full admission, I'd like to get rid of them. I want to be able to just go about my life as if this never existed and happened. I want to be able to I enjoy going to the movies from time to time. I like being able to go to a restaurant and to be able to go in without having to put a mask on until I go sit down and then take it back off. I want to be able to gather with people that want to celebrate things. I want weddings and everything to pick back up. I want to be able to just walk in to get a haircut when I need to. I want all of this to go back to normal. I want whenever my daughter goes to have surgery to not have to sit downstairs in a separate waiting room because I'm not allowed to go up there because COVID. Amen. But how often? Now, all of that's good. We all see that. We all desire that. But how often, when we considered we want things to get back to normal, we want to get back to the way things were, the focus of that was, I'm ready to go back to church and not worry about all of this mess again. How many times was that the focus? How many times did we think, I want us to be able to invite somebody to church, and they not the first thing they ask, well, do you wear a mask and do you social distance? How often was that the focus? See, the people of Israel came back into Israel. They came out of the Babylonian captivity, and they went back in, and they want to get their lives back to normal. Well, preacher, we hear you. We understand. Over the last few weeks, you've been telling us we want to recover, and I want that. I know that's important, but you got to understand, I've got to get things back in my life like they should be, and then I'll get serious in the church. Oh, well, I understand how important the church is, but you don't understand. We've got to get our educational system back in order, and then we'll focus on that. Oh, no, you don't understand. The government's a mess right now. We've got to get, Israel say, we've got to get a king back in there so people know how important it is that we're a nation to ourselves again. Then we'll worry about that prophet. Oh, no, you don't understand. We've got to get the walls back up and we've got to get our protection back in front of us. We've got to show our strength in these times. And then we'll get around to that, preacher. We'll get back to that. None of us ever have that in our lives, do we? Oftentimes when I visit with people, asking them if they go to church, asking them if they attend regularly, oftentimes they say, well, in my youth I did, but A, B, or C got in the way. And, well, when I get married, I'll get serious about that again. Well, there's a problem with that. You get married and then it becomes, well, when we have children, we'll settle down and then I'll get serious about that. Well, then you realize how busy life really gets because you have children. And then it's, well, when they get out of the house, well, when we've got time, then we'll get serious about church. I know it's important, but I've got my life I've got to deal with. And God wants me to do okay in my life, and then I'll get to being the church member I should be. There's always something. And the people of Israel had come in and they had begun again to building up their lives. They had begun to build up their houses and forgotten that His house is where it all starts. That is the charge that was given to Israel. And that's where I want to start this morning, because our final step, our final step in the pattern is the longest step. It is the hardest step. It is the continual step. One of the biggest mistakes that we make when we desire revival, when you consider revival, when you pray the Lord, Lord, help us be revived. What is it that you picture in your mind? I'll speak for myself. Oftentimes, and you can answer in your own minds. But when we consider revival, when we consider seeking the Lord, we want to recover, we want to revive, we want these things, we tend to picture kind of a spark that happens and it just sets things ablaze and it just becomes this all-powerful thing. Churches for years have had revival meetings, and that's a very temporary thing. But true revival, true recovery, is not a one and done thing. This final step is one where you apply everything that we have been looking at over the last few weeks and you continue on with it. This becomes a lifestyle. This becomes your focus. This becomes a new life for you, and being your part of the church and helping others be their part of the church, and it becomes just who we are. But things like this tend to get in the way. Things like this tend to creep up. So I want to challenge you. I want to, as we begin to close out this study, I want to give you the challenge that God gave to Israel here. In our focus, in our recovery, in our desire for things to get back to so-called our perception of normal, and it probably is different for everybody, what the Lord is sending by Haggai is, if that's what you want, realize it starts here. Realize that this is where it's supposed to start. The people said, now's not the time, we've got other things to do. And God's answer to that was a question, well, is this really the time for you? Or should this be the time for me? I challenge you to consider that as we continue on through this. And I hope that it drives us to desiring to take action as it did the people in Ezra's time. When Haggai challenged them with this, this is where we find ourselves back in Ezra, if you want to turn there. When Haggai came to them and gave them this challenge, they realized that this was a mistake. That their focus, their primary, if we want to recover, if we want our lives to recover, we want the nation to recover, we want the church to recover, where it starts has to be in the house of the Lord. And basically the Lord's saying, that'll take care of itself if you take care of here first. This is where it has to start. If we want our lives to recover, the nation to recover, the community to recover, here is where it starts, and it branches out from here. So we've looked again. I want to give you the steps just one last time as we come into our fifth and final step. Step one we find at the very beginning of chapter 3, and it is where they gathered themselves together as one man. If we're going to begin this recovery, it begins with gathering together and realizing the importance of God's people to gather together and worship. And when we arrive there, we come together for step two as we begin to sacrifice our lives and sacrifice our desires to seek what God would have us to do in their place. And we do that on purpose. After we begin to seek Him further in this chapter 3, we find that the next step is that we clear and we place the foundation again. Firmly square on God, on Jesus Christ Himself. We clear out all the rubble between us and Him, and we form our foundation solely and squarely, firmly upon Him. Last week we looked at our fourth step at the end of this third chapter, where I remind you again that when we start to do this and we begin to build again and we lay our foundation and we take the time that it takes to do this, this is a long-term thing. It's not going to be quick. I'm not going to finish this series of sermons that everybody's doing. If everyone here heard them all and just turned the switch on and we all begin to do what we're supposed to do next week, the church is not going to be completely different next Sunday. This is going to take time. But as we begin to do this, I encourage you again in our fourth step that we looked at last week to be looking for the little things. Be looking for the small things. Be looking for the way that God tends to work. God tends to work in the little and the small. He doesn't tend to work in the big and the grand. I wish that He did sometimes. I wish He dealt in neon signs. I've said that oftentimes, that He dealt in neon signs that tells us clearly where He's at and the direction He wants to go. But reality is, Scripture tells us and shows us that He tends to work in the small things. And when we see those things, be ready to praise His name and to worship Him for everything that He does and not be torn back because it's not what we want yet. To faint not in well-doing and to remember to praise the Lord in all things. And again I say, praise ye the Lord. Our fifth and final step we find in the fourth chapter of the book of Ezra. I want to start in Ezra chapter 4, starting in verse 1. It says, now, when the adversaries of Judah and Benjamin heard that the children of the captivity builded the temple unto the Lord God of Israel, then they came to Zerubbabel and to the chief of the fathers and said unto them, let us build with you, for we seek your God as ye do. And we do sacrifice unto him since the days of Esarhaddon, king of Assur, which brought us up hither. But Zerubbabel and Jeshua and the rest of the chief of the fathers of Israel said unto them, Ye have nothing to do with us to build a house unto our God, but we ourselves together will build unto the Lord God of Israel, as King Cyrus, the king of Persia, hath commanded us. Then the people of the land weakened the hands of the people of Judah, and troubled them in building, and hired counselors against them to frustrate their purpose all the days of Cyrus, king of Persia, even until the reign of Darius, king of Persia. I'm going to stop there. This fifth step is the hardest, because the reality is the world does not want us to succeed. Y'all know that, right? What I'm calling on you to do, what I am trying to teach and to show forth of the church to revive, for us to recover, and to realize that the church and God Himself is supposed to be the center and the focus of our lives, and for us to actually live in that manner is contrary to anything and everything that this world holds true and dear, and they do not want us to succeed. I'm calling on you to revive in a world that is contrary and against you. Jesus taught this. We see this as, again, the example throughout Scripture. Jesus taught this before He ascended on high to heaven, when He spoke with His apostles and told them, I'm fixing to go away. I'm going home. And I'm going to send you into the world. I'm fixing to let you loose and let you do the things that I've trained you to do, that I've taught you to do, and that's to go into all nations, to teach, to baptize, and to continue to teach. Don't ever stop teaching. That's what I've taught you to do. That's what I've called on you to do. And let me encourage you, that's what He's called on us to do. That Great Commission did not stop with the apostles. It continues on through us. But Jesus told them before He ascended on high, He says, if they've hated Me, let me ask you, did the world hate Jesus? Absolutely. Did the religious world hate Jesus? Yeah, they did. Did the government hate Jesus? Yeah, they did. He said that if the world hated Me, they're going to hate you. If they persecuted Me, they're going to persecute you also. But take joy, take comfort in knowing that they're not doing it to persecute you. They're doing it to persecute Me. Y'all know they can't touch God. Satan and all of his angels, no matter what they do, no matter what they try, they cannot affect the outcome of God. They cannot touch Him, cannot come near Him, and will not change the work that He has done. Y'all know that? They know that. So all they can do is affect us. It's the closest they can come to affecting Him. And the world does not want us to succeed with what I present to you. When the people of the nations there saw that the children of God were coming back into Israel and were not just building their houses anymore, I can tell you the world's not going to care if you begin to build your lives back up and you begin to just start living like them and seeing to yourself and worrying about yourself and no one else. The world's not going to hate that at all. Matter of fact, they're probably going to applaud it and help you along. But when they saw that they had stopped building their own houses and they had begun to build the house of the Lord again, and they had started going back to Him again, and they had seen that they are starting to show that they are still the same people that were here before, and they're going to seek the Lord their God, and they're going to live for Him, they didn't like it. And the enemies of these people, y'all read that again. Read again here in the second verse. Our first verse says, now when the adversaries of Judah, the world is adversary with the church. The world is adversary with God. That's just the way it is. When the adversaries of Judah and Benjamin heard that the children began to build the temple again, they came to Zerubbabel. And the strangest thing takes place. They come to Zerubbabel and they don't come to him and try to tell him you need to stop. They don't come to him and begin to persecute him right off the bat. Did y'all catch that? The adversaries of Judah and Benjamin came to him and said, hey, you're trying to better yourself. You're trying to seek the Lord. Let us come in among you and we'll build alongside of you. Because, you know, we seek God too. We seek your God. We want to help you. We want to improve the way you do this. We want to help you out. One thing that I have to caution you in as we begin to seek the recovery and seek the revival and seek the building of the church. I ask you again, I've asked you this multiple times through this study, and I'm going to continue to ask you, how many of you want to see the church grow? I want to see the church grow. It is my desire to see the church grow inwardly and outwardly. I want to see the community coming in. I want to reach out to the community and I want people to come in. But one thing that has to be cautioned against is growth for growth's sake is not a good thing. Growth for the simple name and sake of growth is not the right thing. The enemies of them came in and said, let us join up with you. Y'all remember what happened to Israel the first time? They allowed the other nations to come in and to marry their daughters, and they took their daughters to wed, and they let the influence of the world come in among them until the influence of the world came in among them and started to affect the way they worshiped. And that got to the point that God cast them into captivity and kicked them out. Here they come again. It's the way they do it. Scripture tells us in the book of Timothy that there will be teachers that will come into the church that will tickle your ears. They'll tell you what you want. In Christianity as a whole, I'm very cautious of these things. I don't want to be too harsh on these things, but I want us to be prepared and to be taught and to see that Scripture teaches these things. Christianity as a whole, to some extent, has allowed the adversaries to come in among them. I could quickly and easily grow the church numbers if I allowed entertainment to come into the church. If I took all this down and I expanded out the back and I put us a big stage up here, got us a drum set and a couple of guitars and a big light show, I could get people to come in here. I could do it very quickly. And I can tell you that there would be those that would come in and would try to encourage us in that and would be saying that we want to better the church in doing this. We'll get people in here. How many times? Whatever it takes to get people to come into God. How many have heard that? Right here is scripture example of that is not the way to go. The adversaries come in and said, we'll hurry you along. We'll help you build faster. Let us come in among you and we'll help you do this. We'll help you seek God as well. Entertainment sounds tempting and it can grow the numbers quickly. Self-help. If I begin to preach and to teach the things of happy, wealthy, and blessed, I could grow the numbers of the church. If I begin to tell you and to share the things of Scripture misapplied completely, teaching them that if you'll just believe enough, you'll be healthy. If you just believe enough, you'll be wealthy. If you just believe enough and try to twist Scripture to apply to that, people want to be healthy and wealthy. They'll come in for that. That's an enemy to the church. We can do it if we want to allow those things in. But it will not be healthy growth. We see that the elders here, Zerubbabel and Joshua and the fathers, this is why I'm teaching these things. The chiefs of Israel were smart enough, were wise enough, and the Lord was with them that they saw those people for who they were. It is a hard thing to do to say no to growth. I'm as human as the rest of you. And I look around and I see other parking lots full and I see what they do and it's getting people into the church. And I can tell you, I would love to have their numbers to preach to. The thoughts can roll through my head from time to time. But we've got to seek the Lord and the Lord alone. And the chief fathers and the heads of the church here, Zerubbabel and Joshua, they came in and they said, no. You have no part with us. No. Israel made that mistake before. No. We will not allow you to come into our worship. Israel allowed that to happen before, and they were wise enough to not allow that to happen again. I can tell you, as we begin to recover and we begin to push forward, and I continue to teach you to do the things that God would have us to do, and to go out and to seek others and to be real in people's lives and to show forth the light of God, to bring people in, I want to encourage you to not allow growth for growth's sake. To not allow the enemies to come in. To be careful what we allow to come into the church. This is the hard part. This is the long-lasting part. But they stood up to them. This is one of the ways that the world will try to slow us down and to stop us from this growth. Is they'll try to sneak into us and help us to look alive, but really we're doing nothing. I imagine there would have been a lot built if they'd have came in. But it wouldn't have been true. It wouldn't have been right. When this didn't work, did the world give up? Did the enemy say, well, okay, we'll move on? The world's not going to give up that easy. I encourage you to be cautioned to not let growth for growth's sake happen, but don't expect that to be where they stop. When they were rejected, when they were pushed out and said no, then they began to attack the people directly. The time for flirting with them had passed. In verse 4 it says, then the people of the land weakened the hands of the people. They weakened the hands of the people of Judah and troubled them in building. They came to the elders and they came to the leaders first and tried to get them to fall for it. And when they wouldn't do it, they came to the people and to began to weaken them. We find this in Nehemiah where they tried to convince them that they were wrong in doing so. They were wrong in building. They needed to stop. That they shouldn't be doing this. They tried to trick them. You see this in Daniel where they began to teach the children the ways of Belshazzar and the Chaldeans to try to teach the children to follow those teachings, to reprogram us. We see this in the New Testament, in the book of Galatians. Paul is addressing this straightforward. There had been teachers that had come in among the people and had begun to teach the people that it's a good thing to believe in Jesus. It's a good thing to go to church, but unless you're following the law, you're not really going to be saved. And they had allowed that to come in when it couldn't happen with the apostles and the prophets and the preachers. They attacked the people, and the people began to bring these things in. This is where the pastor begins to really worry about the people, and where I've got to teach and teach and teach and teach and to caution you to faint not in well-doing. We can't be the ones that give up. Scripture teaches us that plainly. If you'll read with me in Galatians chapter 6. The words of Paul. This is our prayer focus for the month. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. Tells us, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith." Paul tells the churches of Galatia here to not give up. I beg you, I encourage you, as we begin to recover, we begin to do these things, just as the people of Israel there had to be encouraged not to give up, not to let your hands be weakened, not to let the things of the world creep in and say, "I'm going to start applying all my focus on myself and my life, and then I'll get around to God." No, no, please, no. Don't give up. You're going to be faced with all kinds of challenges, and the world's going to try to teach you differently. I can give you one personal example. Very early in my adult life of being married and trying to do right, I worked in a truck shop, have the majority of my life. Didn't get paid much. I worked a lot of overtime to try to pay the bills. But at the time, I was still very diligent and trying to save for truth. I'm always going to be at church on Sunday. I'm always going to be there on Wednesday night. And there came a Wednesday where I was working, and I was running behind on getting a truck finished. There were some bills piled up that I needed to take care of. And the boss come to me and said, you know, "You can work late if you need to. We need to get that truck finished." "Well, no, it's Wednesday night. I need to go to church." And I liked my boss. I really did. And at the time I fell for it. He says, "Well, you know, God wants you to take care of your family, right?" "Yeah, he does." "Well, you know, it's your paycheck that helps you do that. So really, to serve in your family, the best way you can do that is to stay here and get your money built up, get your hours so that you can pay your bills. He'll understand if you can't be there a Wednesday night or two." You know what I did? I stayed late. I fell for it. That's how they'll do. That's what the world will do. Paul tells them here in Galatia, tells them there in Ephesians to be no more children tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine, where people come in, teachers come in, people like that that are well-meaning. He was well-meaning. Of the truth, I mean, reality was, if I worked that extra 2 hours, I made more money in that 2 hours than I did three the previous day. That's truth. I mean, he was well-meaning. And he used a little bit of God in there so it sounded right. You know, God wants you to take care of your family. And he's given you this opportunity to do so. It had the sound of right to it. But at that particular time and moment, he was being a messenger of Satan trying to sow seed in me, and he accomplished that work. And I became one that worked way too much, thinking I was going to fix the problem. That's how the world will do. See, Ezra chapter 4 gives us our fifth step, which is to persevere through, to faint not in well-doing, to keep our focus, to continue to seek God in His direction, and realize that our teaching comes from here, not out there. What we do out there, the teaching and the direction for it, comes from in here, comes from the Word of God, comes from the preaching of God, comes from the study of His Word. We don't use the teaching of the world to see how we follow God. We follow God to see how we can serve in the world. We can't allow that to get backwards on us. And it's going to be tempting, it's going to be easy, and it's going to seem right when we do that. But we have got to grow up. That's hard. But in the church, if we're going to revive, I don't want just a spark to happen. I want the church to revive, and that means that there's life given, and we grow in this, and we continue forward, and we get stronger in this. And we've got to be careful, because the world wants us to turn away, and they'll use those things. One of the biggest mistakes in the modern world today is anybody and everybody that says the name God, we want to just, because we're, my personal opinion is because the people of God are that hungry for the truth, anybody that says the name of God, it just instantly, well, this is Christian. No, it's not. That man coming to me and telling me that God wants me to better my life and better my family by skipping church, he was using the name of God. It didn't make him a Christian in that moment. These people came in and said, "We're following of God. We're followers of God too. Let us come in with you." That doesn't make them Christian. There is a lot in this world that claims God and claims to try to do things. There's so much of modern day so-called morality and social justice that wants to try to claim that they're trying to push forward the name of God. No, they're not. They have a sound of godliness, but they don't hold the power of it. They don't hold the truth. Let me give you the teaching that man was trying to give me in biblical truth. Biblical truth, if he was coming to me and it was sound doctrine and it was something to listen to, the man would have come to me and said, "You know, God wants you to take care of your family." Amen? Absolutely true. God wants me to take care of my family. It's the calling of every husband. It is the calling of every man to take care of his family. That's scripture. So far, he's doing good. This truck will be here in the morning. Go to church. Make sure they're there with you. Make sure they're listening. Come in early in the morning and get your time then. Make sure you put church first. Make sure you have your family there. I'll give you opportunity to come in early and finish the truck. I'll be here to unlock the shop for you. I'll turn the lights on and you can get to work a couple hours early tomorrow. And we'll still get the truck out of here. That would have been someone actually being Christian and trying to help me. And teaching me the right things to do. Sacrifice when you need to serve your family. but you don't sacrifice it and you're not going to serve God first. Everything in this world that claims the name of God doesn't make it Christian. I've listened to some things in my life. I'm a 90s rock junkie. I really am. I grew up listening to 90s rock, and there was some stuff in there that when I was in high school and shortly thereafter, I was foolish enough to say, this is Christian rock, because, I mean, they would talk about some things, and boy, it sounded true, but I've gone back and listened to it, and it is so far from true, it ain't even funny. I should have never even turned it on, at least not with that desire and end to it. The world is not going to teach you Christianity. Y'all understand that? If we're going to recover and we're going to revive, we've got to realize that God teaches us Christianity, the Scripture teaches us Christianity, and we learn here and we go out there to serve Him better. Paul tells the churches of Galatia to faint not in well-doing. I want to see us take the charge given to Ezra and for us to go out into the community to lay this foundation again. I want to see you all. I want to bring all this together. I want y'all to get the whole picture this morning as we close up, as I'm trying to close. I want to see this foundation laid true. I want to see each one of you to dig out of all that junk in your life and to lay yourself squarely on the Lord Jesus Christ and Him crucified and that salvation alone. And I want to see you plant yourself there and to be firmly held to Him and hold each other together. And I want to see us go out into the world and share that light and that truth with the world around us. But you can't allow yourself to be torn down when it doesn't take effect immediately. We want to be that instant generation where we just add water, stick it in the microwave, 30 seconds later we've got it. We want to be that instant generation. We want to be instant popcorn. We stick it in there, hit the button, a minute, I got a bag full of popcorn. Christianity doesn't work that way. Building the church doesn't work that way. Correcting the mistakes of the past doesn't work that way. Becoming the child that God has called you to be doesn't work that way. It's going to take time. And when you go out in the world and you are shining a light, realize that you are sowing seeds of righteousness. Realize that you're doing the work that God's called you to do, and faint not in that well-doing. Be willing to continue on. The people there in Ezra, as they're building, it sounds tempting to bring in extra workers just right off the bat and put them to work because we can get so much further, so much faster. But have the wisdom to realize, do they really want to see us grow, or do they want to see us turn back? And be ready to persevere and to continue on and to faint not in well-doing. Knowing, y'all please listen to this, let us not be weary in well-doing. This is a promise of Scripture. For in due season we shall reap. Now, we're good old Baptists, right? We like the shalls, don't we? For she shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. We love the shalls, and I want y'all to shout hallelujah, because you know he was born, he was named Jesus, and if those two shalls were true, the final shall is true, and he shall save his people from their sins. It's done, it's finished. That's a powerful word in Scripture, amen? Amen. Faint not, be not weary in well-doing. For in due season you shall reap what you sow. That one's just as sure. In due season. In due season. Now, I'm a terrible gardener. I'm not very good at it. Last year was the most success I've ever had in trying to do it, and it was still iffy. But I know well enough that if I go out there tomorrow and plant a bunch of tomato seeds, I cannot expect tomatoes to grow up next week. It's not going to happen, is it? But when the season's right, that seed will grow. When we cast our seed of righteousness, when we begin to do the things that God's called on us to do, and we apply this pattern to recovery, and we go out into the world, and we begin to do the work of God, and we're sowing this seed, we can't tell God when it's in season. And then get mad when it's not. Well, I planted last week and they ain't shown up to church yet. I'm not ever asking them again. I'm just wasting my breath. In due season, you shall reap what you sow. In God's time. In God's time, it'll happen. When God's ready, He'll bring forth the harvest. We've got to be out there sowing. We've got to be out there doing. And we've got to have the faith of God to understand that that is a promise of His Word. We'll get there. If you believe that last year's behind us, whether you believe it or not, it is. But if you believe last year's behind us and we want to continue forward, we want the church to grow, we want to go into a new season, we want to begin again what God would have us to do, I encourage you to get here to church. Don't miss. Do everything you can to be here. There are exceptions. There will always be exceptions. That's what they are. They're exceptions. But be here every time you can. Be ready to give up yourself to the sacrifice of God and ask Him what He would have you to be. Clear out the dirt and the debris and the rubble and plant yourself firmly on Him. And praise Him every time you see even the smallest little thing come about. Everybody else will think you've lost your mind, but eventually they'll get what's going on. And don't quit. Don't give up. Faint not in well-doing. Be not weary. It's going to get exhausting. It's going to get trying. Every one of us are going to have doubts come into our mind. We're all human. Every one of us. Why isn't it working yet? In due season, it will. I thank you, and God bless.
I will sing the wondrous story of the Christ.
Thank you again for joining us at Salem Primitive Baptist Church. I pray that the Word of God may brightly shine in your lives. If you would like to contact us or would like to download a copy of today's message, please go to www.salempbchurch.com. God bless you all.
Who died for me?
Sing His will.
Sing His will.
The saints in glory.
The saints in glory.
Gathered by
the crystal sea.